può dire che nel no.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show today. Today, I've got recently Brian Duff from Mind for Survival and I were on Vision Preparedness's YouTube channel, and it was such a good conversation. It was about an hour and a half. We talked about government corruption. We talked about what's going to happen with the coming election, how our society has changed, and how we're sort of living in a Hunger Games 1984 type society and where we're going to be moving forward. Just a really good show. So I wanted to play that here on my Survivalist Prepper podcast because it was just a fantastic show and I wanted to let you all listen to it. I will make sure and link to the video in the show notes. So if you just go to survivalistprepper.net, you can watch that video there if there's any certain part of this that you wanted to see. But really just a really cool conversation between the three of us about the state of things. Before we get into that, though, I did want to mention we're only, probably a little bit over a week to go until I launch the Bug Out Location 3.0. That's at the BOL.net. It's a fantastic website. The old Bug Out Location was great, but it's nothing compared to this one. My goal with this one, the old one was, or even back to the Academy, was geared more towards getting that person that's just interested in preparedness, giving them the right information. This one, though, while it's still geared that way, it's still fantastic for beginning preppers. I'm increasing this to include all of us in preparedness, even those the ones of us that have been doing this for a long time. That's why I set up the private community over at members.survivalistprepper.net. Bug Out Location members get free access to that. Otherwise, it's $2 a month. The reason I have it set up at $2 a month is sort of to keep the, you know, keep the trolls out, basically. And, you know, somebody needs to make a commitment to get in there, not just get in there to start talking crap and things like that. So, and it also helps support the show, helps me to continue doing what I'm doing. Same with the Bug Out Location. So if you are not a member of the Bug Out Location, you can get on the waiting list for when we open the doors there. If you go to thebugoutlocation.net or thebol.net, there's a link right at the top of the page where you just get on the waiting list and then I'll send you an email out. I'm going to have a couple of bonuses that I'm not going to mention here on the show, but I will in that waiting list email series. But it's going to be worth it to get on that list. And also, if you are a current member, I'm going to be doing a giveaway. I'm going to be giving away a 72-hour kit from Legacy Foods. It's $115 value. That's a two-person 72-hour kit. It's got 12,000 calories. I'm also going to give it's a big bag of beef dices. I think 19 servings. I'll be giving one of those away. And also a couple t-shirts, a few t-shirts from that I make here from the SHTF shop, as well as I just got a Harvest Right freeze dryer and I'm going to be doing some meals and some of my cooking and then freeze drying it. I may even just throw out a couple of those and put them into the contest, give them to a couple people, have you test them out. So I make some really good green chili, by the way, just saying. So at any rate, the Bug Out Location, like I said, it's going to be open on the 11th, just over a week now. It is fantastic already. I've still got a lot of work to do, but right now it's better than the original. So if you're interested in that, go join the wait list or on the 11th, you can sign up. You can also sign up to the old Bug Out Location, and in that you'll get a link to register for the new Bug Out Location. So you'll for now, you'll get access to both of those. After the 11th, it'll only be the new one. At any rate, enough of me rambling on here in the beginning. Let's go ahead and get into the show with Vision Preparedness and Brian talking about the state of the country, what's coming down the pipes, where we're headed as a country in general.
Good evening, everybody. How is everybody doing today? It is Thursday, and welcome in. Good to see everybody. We've got some amazing guests with us today, and the weekend is almost upon us. Psalm 146, Home and Gardens, welcome in the Virginia Bushcrafter. Good to see you, my friend. Who else we got in here? Teresa, good to see you. Saffron Bay, welcome, 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 my man, Ghost Lincoln. How you doing? How you doing? My man, Dan H., Masshole in the house. Good evening. Good to see you. Hope you had a great day, bruh. Magique, good to see you as well. Paper Buttons, 19, good to see you. Magique, good to see you as well, bruh. Hope everything's going well. KP, good to see you. Good to see you. Cassings, 55, welcome in. Tamika Davis, good to see you. Scott Hummer, good to see you, my friend. Hope you had a great day. And then there is the infamous greatest name on YouTube, Coffee First. Then Speak, good to see you. Hope you're doing well. My Grandma Renaissance, welcome, welcome, welcome. Ronnie Carnes, good to see you. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for the 5x5, Dan and Magique. Jim Ketchum, good to see you, my friend. Hope you're doing well. Grace Grimes, good to see you. The Roaming Prepper, good to see you, Pete. Hope all is well. He is in and out today. I get it, my friend. I have had a crazy day today, and I'm with you on that. Unbiased LLC, good to see you. Good to see you. Love and Life, welcome home, family. All right, folks, we got an amazing show with some amazing guests, two of my good friends, great guys. If you haven't met them, you better buckle in, sit down, put your seatbelt on, and get ready, because we're going to have a great time. And without further ado, I want to introduce the Survival Preppers. My good friend Dale and Brian, welcome, gentlemen. How are you this evening?
Doing good.
Doing well. Thank you, man.
Good. I'm not so sure about the whole amazing part, but we'll see. That's a pretty big billing.
In my book, you guys are, because, you know, you shake up the algorithms. You get folks hating you, and, you know, that means you're doing something right.
Yeah.
Ed. Yes.
Yeah, we can't even be on YouTube anymore. So
that's interesting. But folks, I did put up in the top of the chat somewhere up there. Yeah. Questions. If you have questions, you can ask your question there, or you can put them in the chat. Just put them in all caps with QQQ in front of them. Jammer WV, welcome in. Welcome in. Gentlemen, first of all, I would like you guys to introduce yourselves and let everybody know who you are and what you do and the amazing things you guys are doing.
I'll start, because I usually make Brian start. So, but I run survivalistprepper.net, the website, the YouTube channel, the podcast, just a whole bunch of stuff. I have the bugoutlocation.net, which is my membership website, got a lot of prepping courses, a community, sort of a back and forth between preppers and learning and all of the different things, working on opening up the newest version of that, which is going to be pretty damn cool. It's been a lot of work, but it's going to be well worth it. Survivalist Prepper, I've been around for a long time. So just Google it and you'll probably find the podcast, the YouTube channel, everything.
Yes, indeed. And if any of my moderators are in the building, if y'all could grab their link, or I'll grab it and we'll drop it in. Brian?
Hey, everybody. I'm Brian Duff. I'm with Mind for Survival. That's Mind, the number 4, and survival.com. And it's a regular preparedness site. Been over there, I don't know, about 8 years. Actually, I got into it all, the online stuff, because of Dale, listening to his podcast when I was in Baghdad, 10 years ago or something like that. And so we started doing the Survival Preppers. It started as a YouTube channel, and because of the censorship over there, we deleted it about 6 months ago, and now we're on Rumble as the Survival Preppers. So good time.
Wow. So you guys left YouTube altogether.
Yeah. We tried. The whole point of that whole podcast was to just censored, to talk about what we wanted to talk about. And there's so many brick walls with YouTube because you really do have to, you know, craft the way you're saying something to avoid the whole censorship. And then we finally got hit. One of our videos got taken down and Brian was like, screw it.
Yeah.
It was a video from like a year before.
Yeah.
And they went and they hit us with a strike or a warning and said, if you do it again, you'll lose the ability to post for a week and then all this stuff. And I was like, man, if they're going to be going back through one or two year old videos, because Dale and I started the channel back in like 2020, I think, when May 21, when the pandemic was, you know, we were in the middle of all that nonsense. And we were talking about two or three times a week. We're like, hey, why don't we put this on, you know, do this as a live stream. And so we did. And then, you know, if they start cherry picking old episodes, and literally, I think it was like one sentence that we could think that they might've targeted us on. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So like, it's just not worth the headache. And I kind of, you know, I was like, why get people to come watch us on YouTube when YouTube just, you know, takes a dump all over you. So
yeah, we're
really happy over on Rumble.
Good. Hudson Valley Prepping and Survival, welcome in, brah. If you could find their site on Rumble, could you drop that link for me? And I'll also look as well. So, guys, you know, I have the topic for tonight, which way is our country going? You know, yeah, exactly. It down, left, right, up, down. You know,
and like this, you know, going down the toilet.
Okay, we're circling the toilet bowl. Yeah. It's crazy. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of people, not most, a lot of them preppers and just people in general. And I'm like, what is going on in the country? You know, and everybody's like, it's definitely not going in the right direction. As we all can tell, you know, this administration is, and I could care if you're Democrat or Republican, I vote my morals and values, but there's no leadership. They don't care. You know, and first topic I'm going to throw out here, G Mama Groves, welcome in. Good to see you. First topic out here, why all of a sudden are they talking about aliens or whatever this UATs or unidentified flying objects, whatever. What's your guys' take on that?
I think it's pretty interesting because the other day, this last time when they did it, I saw it on the news in the morning. We watched the news before Lisa goes to work. I saw it on the news and it just so happened to be the same day that Hunter's getting all that stuff done. And then you look back a few more times, it's like their game plan now. Anytime something big's coming up, let's throw some aliens at them. Like the, you know, the pointer for the cat, the laser pointer for the cat. Let's distract them. Let's put them over here and make them pay attention to aliens. And it is interesting. Some of the stuff that's going on, because you know, you don't know what it is, whether it's you know, military technology or what. But the timing and all that just really pisses me off, because the things that should matter, I totally get overshadowed, because this is what people want, the interesting stuff, right? They want the things that they can talk about at work, do water cooler talk and all that, not Hunter Biden.
Right.
Yeah. It's all the Roman stuff, bread and circus, right?
Yeah.
Keep them fat, keep them happy, and, you know, with distractions and let them go. I mean, I'm not saying that the alien technology, I mean, we know that we have, you know, enough fighter pilots now that are saying that they've seen things, and we know there's been enough out there that there's something out there. But whether it's our technology, alien technology, but like Dale says, they're rolling this out every time the administration or something's going on. They need that distraction out there to take away from, you know, the Hunter Biden or whatever it is that's going on.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's my thing. I think it's a distraction, like you said, to keep everybody off of the Hunter Biden stuff, you know, and all of that. You know, Hudson Valley said, like when Cuomo did with the weed after the sexual harassment claims. Yeah, it's a total distraction of what's really going on or what really should be mattering to us as American citizens. You know, and you heard a brief blip about the judge who either held off whatever this deal they were supposed to cut with Hunter Biden. I don't know the details. I didn't care because I believe nothing's going to happen to him.
Yeah, they basically put him on probation. So if he does drugs or gets caught with a gun, he's supposed to go back and get charged or whatever. What are the odds of that? You know, when your dad's the president, dad's got connections. That's never going to happen. So, yeah, it's she sort of did the right thing. I don't know whether to commend her or not, because whether she was doing that because she knew what the next few plays are going to be anyway, or if she did it because she saw the deal that he had, the plea deal he had, was complete nonsense. And she was actually standing up for, you know, what she believes in. Hopefully that's what the case was, but we'll see. I mean, you think the dude's going to stay off drugs for 2 years or, you know, no pot, no anything? Not a chance.
No, he probably, you know, had something in the car that he got in when he left court.
Yeah.
I think you might be seeing the establishment turning on Biden now. This is their move to get him out of the way. Because weird, today I started seeing Gavin Newsom ads pop up on Twitter, right? Because I'm out in LA, I'm out in California right now. So, right. So I think what you might be seeing is actually the establishment going after him. I mean, if they put Hunter Biden down they run him down the rabbit hole and they attach it to Biden, where they finally come out and start admitting, yeah, oh yeah, they're corrupting all this. You're going to probably see him gone. I think this, and it's also the same day, you know, that they're working on indicting Trump again on more stuff. So I think this is their move. If they can get Biden on, you know, for the documents and say, see, we're going after him for this and this, so it makes it okay to go after Trump. I think this is their effort to get rid of both those guys.
Right. Exactly. And if they want to get rid of both Grandpa Ice Cream and Trump, who are they trying to set up to be the next president?
Yeah, unfortunately, Brian mentioned him, Newsom.
Newsom?
Which is, well, I think that's to me.
They're trying to clear the way for him or Michelle Obama, most likely. The problem that they have, though, right now is you have, I think it all depends on what RFK Jr. does and what Vivek Ramaswamy does. Yeah. You know, if either of those guys run as third party candidates, yeah. You know, the problem that they have right now is the third party people who are registered independents or identify as independents. It's almost 50% of the population right now, which is like historic compared to, you know, the past. So if either of those guys run and they're getting, and both of them are getting traction out there.
Yeah.
So, we'll see what happens.
Exactly. What do you guys think about DeSantis? He's got a chance or no?
I used to like him, you know, back in the beginning before, you know, I don't necessarily dislike the dude. I just don't think he's got a chance. And I don't even think that Trump's got a chance. And I think they're laying all this groundwork to make sure that he gets the nomination.
Yeah.
But it doesn't go any further than that because there's so much hate for that dude out there and he can't keep his mouth shut. So, I mean, I get it sometimes, but
yeah.
They've smeared that dude so much. Andy's helped on top of that. So it's just the perfect storm of Andy's got a lot of support. So he's got enough to get up there, get on stage and blab his mouth and say something stupid. And then, you know what? I don't know how far I want to go on YouTube with this, but does it really matter? You know,
well, DeSantis fired his entire staff or got rid of most of his campaign staff that got him into office about, I don't know, 3 to 6 months ago, 4 months ago, something like that. And he brought in like the campaign staffs, all people that did like Romney's campaign, George Bush's campaign, all these establishment Republicans. And that's about the time he started dropping the polls and his message started changing. So I think DeSantis is all in on the establishment now. He might go out there and rattle some talking points, but his kind of message and his tenor's changed ever since he went and got the establishment, the establishment campaign people in on his team. And I think the guy's a sinking ship as well. And he doesn't have the ability to hang with Trump in a debate, and he doesn't have the ability to hang with Ramaswamy in a debate.
Yeah.
Right. He tries to push establishment talking points and he sounds to me like a used car salesman halftime when he talks now.
Right.
Ramaswamy is the one I'm sort of leaning towards right now. I just because I most of what he says, I like what he says. But yeah. I mean, I just don't know that he's got it either. That's what. But again, I don't know that you could put up even if Michelle Obama ran as a Republican, which would be talk about an upside down world. She still Biden would still get more votes than her.
Right. Yes.
Is she running, Brian, or is she thinking about it? But if she does, she's in. She'll get elected.
No, she hasn't come out and said anything. I don't think she is, but it's what you hear. I hear a lot of it in the background when they look at options for Biden, it comes out. People mention Gavin Newsom, and in the same breath, a lot of times they're mentioning Michelle Obama.
Yeah, I hope she doesn't run because we all know
3.0.
Yeah, and we all know if she wins, who's going to be.
Well, running. I mean, we'd get our first transgender president in office. So.
Okay. I'm going to leave that right there on the table and keep it moving. For all the content creators of my friends that are in the chat, don't forget, if you type Vision, it'll drop your channel. Folks, visit these folks. Check out some of their content. Check out my guys tonight on the panel. They're on Rumble. Their link was dropped in the chat. That's how everybody grows. Nobody grows alone. We all are in this together. We all grow together by helping each other out.
And if anybody's here that from our channel that's watching, because I put an email out and stuff today, make sure and subscribe to Vision as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And Brian, to briefly talk about that as I skirt around the corner and down the street. Unfortunately, you are correct. And I'm going to leave it at that. And if you don't believe me, ask Joan Rivers.
You know, NG Girl 2002 put in the chat, there are no great standalone candidates at this point. Ramaswamy and RFK Jr. could do some good work, but unfortunately they are being shut down by the mainstream media. And that's 100% true. They're being shut down by the mainstream media. But what they're also doing is they are on every podcast, every YouTube channel. They are, if you go on to YouTube, go on to Twitter, you're going to see them everywhere. They're going into barbershops and sitting down and having 2-3 hour discussions with people. They're talking to everybody. So where DeSantis is out there and the mainstream media props him up is I think one of the things that you may see in this election is really the rise of the podcast, the rise of the YouTube channels, the non-mainstream media that promotes these people. Because that's how Ramaswamy and RFK have gotten up in the polls, all off of social media.
Right. And who started their campaign through social media?
Trump.
That's how he gained ground through non-traditional media outlets. Yeah, and that's smart.
That's always been the case. If you look back to when Kennedy got elected, when Kennedy beat Nixon, it was because they did the very first live debate. And Nixon just went in there like, you know, kind of thinking like it's just not going to be a big deal. And Kennedy went in there nice and dressed and ready to go. And he slaughtered Nixon in debate. And that's kind of what got one of the reasons Kennedy got not to mention, you know, getting dead people to vote and all the kind of stuff they did up in Chicago helped him out, too. But
right. Exactly. Prepper Book Club says RFK is anti-Second Amendment. No thanks on that, dude.
A lot of the things he says I like, but I just don't. I'm just leery of all politicians because they say this and say that, and then they get in there and it's something different. But on the mainstream media thing, I think it's pretty interesting because it's another example of preppers and just people with our mindset, that questioning, you know, not with our head in the sand type of mindset. Right. We've been talking about how the mainstream media is full of crap for, I don't know, ever since I've been doing it, a decade or so. And now people are starting to come around to the fact that, yes, the mainstream media has got an agenda. They're full of crap and they push what they want or what they're told to push, whether that's big pharma, whether that's politicians. So I think people are seeing that now. And that's why you see the Joe Rogans, you see the podcasts, the YouTube channels, all these things getting bigger, and people like Ramaswamy and JFK getting going that route rather than the mainstream media. I don't think it's as big a deal anymore, not getting the mainstream media coverage, other than you don't get the headlines from, you know, the Washington Post or the New York Times or crap like that. But like Brian said, they're making massive headway without all that crap. And that never used to happen.
Correct. Modi Soldier and everybody else that came in that I hadn't spoken to, welcome in. Good to see you guys. Do me a favor, if you would not mind, smash the like button, please. And if you would think about sharing out this video, because that's what we do. But I agree with you. I'm leery of all politicians, period, because I'm trying to actually think of the last president we had. They actually did what they said they would do if they got elected. And I can't think of one.
I was going to say, if it was, it was before I was alive, because I don't remember.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, and the other side of that, too, is even if like an RFK Jr. or a Ramaswamy were to get elected, you know, as an independent or third party. I mean, look what they did to Trump, right? Trump was, you know, he was the outsider. And you know, what, two impeachments that they went after Trump with? Everything he did, oh, this was terrible. That's terrible. I don't know how much headway that Ramaswamy or, you know, anyone who's not of the establishment, because it's, you know, they're the little white speck that's on the top of a pile of chicken shit, right? They're surrounded by it. So how do they get anything through? And it's not like our government anymore believes in getting a consensus and let's do something that's good for everybody. No, it's watch the, watch any of the congressional hearings that are going on. If it's something that's against the Democratic Party that might cause problems for Biden, all the Democrats come out and attack it, and vice versa on the Republican side. So they're not about what's right for the people. It's about what's right for the party. We're always, I like to say we, the people, are at best third at the trough when it comes to what our government's doing, if it's doing anything on our behalf.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. And yet these people actually work for us. And, you know,
they're supposed to work for us.
Yeah, they're supposed to work for us. You're absolutely right. But here is my non-shameless plug. Folks, if you have not gone to see the movie The Sound of Freedom, please do so. It is an amazing movie. I took my son and four of his guys to go see it to let them know, hey, this is what's going on. And there are some evil, evil, evil people in the world that want to do harm to the children of the world. And it's crazy how Hollyweird has so-called blacklisted this movie, and it's still the number one box office movie besides Ken and that other chick and that other Oppenheimer. Movie, Oppenheimer. Yeah.
I was going to say, have you guys gone to see Barbie yet?
not going to happen.
I thought, Dale, you just ordered a new set of Barbies for your office there, don't you? I thought you had them up on the shelf right there behind you.
No, I'm holding on.
I saw Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer is
too expensive now.
Oppenheimer is a good movie, man. You definitely go see Oppenheimer. Right. And you know what the great part about Oppenheimer is at the end of it was the United States government wanted to get rid of this guy who was saying, hey, we need to kind of watch what we're doing with nuclear weapons. And you know what they did? They Russia'd him. Yeah. Everything. You're pro Putin, or not. They obviously wasn't pro Putin at the time, but it was all like you're Russia. You're supporting communism, just like they're doing now, just like they did to Trump. It was the same playbook going back to Oppenheimer when they went after him in the '50s.
Yeah. Roaming prepper, Pete Visionheimer. Hey, you know, I'm in with Hudson Valley. I'll go in with you on the wood chipper and we can just go get these guys and just, you know, toss them in there and keep it moving. But, that's some evil stuff. It is an amazing movie. And the thing that really got me is that the CEO of Goya Foods is the executive producer of the movie. He produced that movie and apparently paid for it paid for the majority of that movie production.
Interesting. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, look at it. What do you have? You still have, you know, we keep hearing little dribbles about Epstein stuff.
Yes. But
you still have, you have Ghislaine Maxwell getting sentenced for trafficking and all the stuff that she, whatever she got sentenced for. And, but there's no one that was trafficked to, right? They haven't prosecuted one person in the, off of Epstein's list. They know who these people are, but they're not even moving on it. And even worse than that is how many people know who's on Epstein's list in the government and stuff like that. And they're all being quiet because they're all part of it.
Yeah. Correct. How many are on the list?
Yeah.
Correct. How many are on the list?
Yeah. It wasn't just like 10 guys were partying on that list. It was a whole, you know, years and years and years of a honeypot.
I think that's why you're not going to hear a damn thing about it, because it's that string. Once you start pulling that string, then everybody's starting to get implicated and nobody wants to get implicated. So it's just like, just shut up. We'll make sure he kills himself while he's in prison. And then, you know, we'll tell Ghislaine to shut up. And then, you know, we'll make sure this just goes away. We'll tell everybody that we'll put out an alien story or something. That'll shut him up for a minute.
I mean, everybody's worried. Everybody's focused on Hunter Biden, you know, banging hookers. But nobody's talking about all the executives of the country, all the politicians, you know, that were out doing all that shady stuff too.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and that tells me that they're pretty much all compromised.
Yes.
If they're not saying anything right now, they're compromised.
Yes, that is correct. If they're quiet, they're definitely compromised and involved or have been involved and know who is involved. Yeah. Where is Epstein's book? They have it. They haven't published not one person.
Nope.
And we need to go to another topic.
Because they're all complicit.
That right there, you know, after seeing the movie, I was ready to call my guys and gear up and say, you know what, y'all? I don't know how we're going to do this, but we're going to become hunters.
Yeah, and the wood chipper.
Yes, with the wood chipper. And I'm going to let Hudson Valley operate the wood chipper for sure.
Put it on slow.
That just goes to show you you titled the show, Where's This or Which Direction Are We Going? That just goes to show you how the separation, I mean, the way the government runs in general and the way they give us the middle finger about whatever we want, what we want doesn't matter. So when you see the separation between the corporations, the politicians, everybody, you know, these people up there that are, you know, probably on Epstein's book, these people up there doing things that, you know, as much as the United States has grown and advanced as a society in really positive ways, the government has freaking gone backwards. So it's like they're in a totally different world than the rest of us. And they could give a crap what we want. It's about what they need. It's about what the donors need, the lobbyists need. We were talking about the military industrial complex last week and the Iron Triangle, I guess is what it's called, of just corruption, greed, and all that stuff. And nowhere in that is the American citizen. So,
correct. You know, and as the Roman Prepper said, our government reminds me of the Capitol in the Hunger Games, our weirdness and lack of reality.
Yes. That's Washington, D.C., man. Yes. Four of the five richest counties in the country surround Washington, D.C. Weird how that happens, right? Weird how, you know, AOC is worth all the money that she's worth now. She's been in office, you know, what is it, 4 years or something like that. You know, I think people, when we look at our country, you know, remember when we started with the Constitution, it says in order to form a more perfect union, not a perfect union, just get it better than what we had before. And then we put in the Bill of Rights, right? Because when the Constitution came around, there was no freedom of speech. There was no Second Amendment, right? None of that happened, right? So they went back and said, hey, let's make this better. You know, we used it to end slavery and move forward with stuff, right? Yeah. Now, what do you see happening though over time? You get to this around the 17th Amendment, and it's let's get rid of the direct elect of senators. Because the go to direct elect senators rather than states appointing their senators, because that was hemming up the ability of the federal government to push their agenda out there. So now what happens is we have politicians that are changing the rules to benefit them, to make them, give them the ability to oppress us more. Look at all the censorship that they've tried to pass and everything that they're playing around in the background. So no, Dale's right. We aren't. Why we're trying to move ahead, our government's just going towards this totalitarian dictatorship. And let's not forget what just took place. FedNow went into effect.
Right.
They're using the FedNow app. And what is the FedNow app setting the stage for? Central bank digital currency.
CBDC.
Right. And if you don't know what they're planning on doing with that stuff, they're planning on tokenizing everything. So I have my GMC pickup truck. You're going to get a serial number eventually for that. And it's going to say, this is what that's worth. Here's how much you can, like, gas you can put into it. They can put the, right now, when you do a banking transaction, it has to go through like 10 different steps within the banking system. When central bank digital currencies get to where they want it to go, it's just not about our money. It's about how that everything you own, well, they'll be able to track it through all of this stuff, and they'll have rules in there. Hey, guess what? You're buying number item 002. That's a steak. Oh, you've bought steak twice in the last 2 months. Oh, yes. No more. You're not allowed to buy that steak. It's right. Literally, we worry about social credit score. That's it. The central bank digital currencies is able to implement a social credit score just by what they let you do, what they give you access to do, what they allow you to do with your money and get. We're living in Orwellian times. And the thing is, we're heading towards where they were in Orwell's 1984.
Yeah.
We act like we're there. We're not even close to being there yet, but they're trying to get us there. And like you said, the Hunger Games, that's 100% where we're headed.
Yeah. But you look at how Washington, and I'll be real quick, I'll let you talk vision, but with Pete's fine. Comment, yeah, you look at how Hollywood, how the Washington has embraced Hollywood. And the crazy crap going on in Hollywood. I mean, it is, it's like they're the designers, you know. Half of them are have positions in Washington these days. Exactly. So yeah, it's,
yeah, I mean,
it's all these fiction movies, and they're all, you know, more true than we ever thought.
And that's the whole thing for years. You know, I've always heard, if you really want to know what's coming or going on in the world, keep an eye on the movies that come out. And the movie that did it for me was Enemy of the State. Mm-hmm. With Gene Hackman and Will Smith. When that movie came out, I mean, I literally went and bought the DVD and have watched that thing 1,000 times. And I'm like, they're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And that's what the government does and can do.
You think about out, with Will Smith, makes me think about iRobot as well. Isaac Asimov wrote that in like the 50s or something.
Yeah.
And all of that was, and even what's the one with, I can't remember his name, but the pre-crime and all that crap. I mean, all these movies. Oh,
Minority Report.
Yeah. All these movies that.
Yes.
You want to know something interesting about Enemy of the State? The first time we had a live stream shut down was we were discussing Enemy of the State, and it was in the middle of when we said, this is what we just started talking about the NSA, and they shut our live stream down. Like, and it was shut down midstream to our live stream was turned off. That was like 2 years ago.
Started talking about the Patriot Act, and they're like,
Patriot Act, that's it.
You know, that when I was so mad and I was screaming from the top of the hills when they passed that, I said, do y'all know what just happened? And they passed that bill like at midnight. And I was like,
we were one of the smart ones then, because a lot of people were just like, I mean, I didn't pay much enough attention to it. So I was like, sure, yeah, go kick their ass. But
yeah, on the second, I'm like, wait a minute, y'all get the right to do what? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole of the whole 9/11 thing, other than the fact that a lot of Americans lost their lives. I'll leave it at that.
Well, you know, they use all that stuff, and they, you know what they say, the Patriot Act. Well, we need it to track these terrorists and to find out what they're doing. And then first chance they get, they turn it in. Of course they do. They turn it in on us. It's just like, you know, the FedNow app. You know where the FedNow app got rolled out? Like where the digital government was first rolled out at?
Where?
Give you a guess.
California.
No, Ukraine.
You.
USAID rolled out a version, a Ukrainian version of the FedNow app in Ukraine. I don't know how long ago, a year ago, and they're running it in several other countries around the world. But that's where they're doing it. They're running it in Ukraine right now. Now they're running it here.
That's a great segue, because I wanted to bring up those two bozos throwing rocks at each other. And am I the only one that looks at what's going on over there and think of it as a bad sitcom?
No, I can see that, especially with Zelensky.
Yeah, I mean, so during the Iraq wars, shock and awe, I mean, we saw everything. I mean, they literally broadcasted that thing 24 yeah. hours a day on CNN, to the point where, you know, they had night vision cameras and they were showing us everything. And now, nothing. Who negotiates? You know, you're killing innocent citizens. Okay, that's war, unfortunately. But, you know, they'll throw a rock here, then they'll talk about, well, we're going to block this bridge. I don't get it.
Well, the whole Ukraine war is a farce, right? Yeah. Yes. Putin. I don't see how anybody could be behind Putin. Like we have, as growing up as Americans, we've grown up to disdain communism, commies, the whole nine yards, right? Like, screw that. But here's the problem. We orchestrated a coup. Mm-hmm. In Ukraine, mm-hmm. in 2014,
yes.
the CIA orchestrated a coup. Isn't it odd that Trump's impeachment, like his first impeachment, had to do with Ukraine?
Yes.
Right. So we orchestrate this the CIA orchestrates a coup in Ukraine. They implement a pro-U.S. government in there, kick out the Russian government. The Donbass, the three republics out east, say, hey, we don't want to be part of this. So Ukraine starts attacking them. And you know, our media tries to shut it down. But the Ukrainian units that were attacking the Donbass were straight up Nazis. They wore Nazi symbols. They did the Sieg Heil. They did all that stuff. Right.
Right.
And so eventually Putin says, hey, I've had enough, because we were pushing for Ukraine to join NATO. Part of the deal when the Soviet Union dismembered itself was, hey, we won't move NATO closer to Russia. And right. Now we're complaining. A month ago, we're complaining about China's, or maybe putting some Chinese military into Cuba. Yet yeah. we're trying to turn this country NATO. It's right on their border.
Yeah.
There was actually a time when both Putin and Zelensky had agreed to a peace deal. They're like, yes. This is what we need to start working on.
Yes.
The U.S. sent Boris, or whatever his name is, from the U.K. went in there, and we shut it down. Now what you have is 350,000+ Ukrainians have died in this war. We keep saying we're bleeding Russia. Russia's emptying their prisons. They're telling their prisoners, hey, go fight on the front for 6 months and we'll, you know, you'll be free when you get back. And they're using contractors. So it's not like we're bleeding their military.
Right.
But we are bleeding our military, maybe not our people, but we've given them so many 155 artillery rounds to shoot that we've run out of 155 yeah. artillery rounds.
Yes.
Right. So it's a proxy war that's being done for the benefit of the military industrial complex. The reason you're not hearing about it on TV is because the Ukrainians are getting their butts kicked right now. This offensive the Ukrainians are going to come and do this offense. No, they're not. They might have gotten a little bit when the Wagner group pulled out, but they're not. They're losing. They're it's so bad that the Ukrainians are going around their cities and snatching up 16-year-old kids and press ganging them, like, oh, hey, you're in the military now, throwing them in the back of a van and taking them and putting them on the front.
Exactly. And that's the thing. We're using our ammunition to the point where we have no more, which in turn gives the industrial complex more billions or trillions of dollars to produce this stuff. And in the meantime, there's this other country that has a red flag with a star on it that is sitting back and just waiting and looking.
Yeah. What Roaming Prepper just put in the chat too. He said, he's talking to Hudson Valley. He said, it makes you feel like they're setting the U.S. up to get attacked, huh? I've had that thought because, and I don't know what the realities of China stepping up, because you've got all the economy, the economic factors to put in there as well. But I mean, the fact that we're all Western countries basically are all at us mainly are throwing all these weapons at it and basically depleting our own selves, our own security. What's to say that, you know, there isn't somebody just standing back going, keep going. Let this thing keep going. Because pretty soon you're going to make it easy for us. A couple EMPs, boom, boom, and we're on your shore. See, and we've probably already got some Chinese people already in there in the first place.
Yes. And that's my whole thing. And I've been saying this for about the last year that I truly believe we're going to see some type of grid down situation in this country, whether it's an EMP or sabotage,
cyber attack,
and the grid is going to go kaput, period. One way
intentional cyber attack.
Well, if Russia or China or whoever ever decides that they want to have a fight with us, everybody think like it's a nightmare to try to attack the U.S. Like, you know, we're like invade the U.S. Right? You got oceans. What the Japanese said, right? Though there's a rifle behind every blade of grass. God love the Second Amendment.
Yes.
Right. But at the same time, they don't have to attack us in that sense. All they have to do is shut down our power grid and come in a year or two later and say, hey, what's left here?
Correct.
Yeah.
Because we'll implode on ourselves if the electrical grid goes down.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be total mass chaos.
Just be a bunch of us crazy preppers left.
Hey, and you know what? They really don't want to deal with us. Yeah.
Well, I think we'd probably be overpowered, but we'll put up a fight.
That's absolutely correct. I'm with you. I'd rather, you know, die on my feet than live on my knees.
So yeah, yeah.
That's my whole thing. But speaking of that, what the non-southern border of this country that we have, that all of these people are pouring in from other countries. Like, from what I understand and have read and have done some researching, that there are military age men coming into this country from China and all of these other countries that they are housing separate from everybody else. Thoughts, comments? Am I really that crazy?
I think I'll be short and I'll let Brian expand, because he just sent me something the other day too on this. And I can't remember the guy's name that you sent me, but I think this is just like 90% of the other conspiracy theories that we've heard the last 2-3 years that slowly start to have more basis in reality. Mm-hmm. I think there's something to this. I don't know that it's, you know, some sort of Alex Jones, you know, crazy conspiracy theory, like they're setting up camps and stuff like that. But I guarantee you why wouldn't, if China wanted to infiltrate, if another country wanted to infiltrate and get in here, and even if it's just terror cells or things like that, why wouldn't they? As easy as it would be, that's the easiest place to get in. So why wouldn't they? I can't remember that guy's name, Brian, you were talking about the other day.
Well, so they have been catching a lot of Chinese coming across the southern border, and by lots, you know, you don't need thousands to do anything, right? Theoretically, you had 19 hijackers if you buy into everything, right? So do you need thousands? No. We know we've been told that, you know, 9 to 20 power substations across the country, if they go down, you don't need thousands of people to cause mayhem, right? And we saw it overseas, right? We had a 500,000 or whatever troops plus contractors running around Iraq. And it didn't take a whole lot of guys to cause a bunch of mayhem over there. What has been happening for decades, you don't see it because they weren't typically coming across the southern border. But for when I was a firefighter, I worked in a really densely area that was populated with Chinese people. There's all kinds of illegal Chinese coming in. They're coming in through San Francisco. They're coming in on ships and all this stuff. So I think that's pretty constant. The thing is, though, when you're allowing 1 million or so, whatever the number is, people right? Seven figures of people coming across. How many, what percentage of that, less than 1%, can cause utter mayhem in the country? So if I was a terrorist cells, if I was foreign, you know, nation states looking to screw with the U.S., I'd have sleeper agents getting in here doing recons, like getting acclimated. So people forget about them. That's just, you know, that's Hong Feng over there and that's so-and-so over there. They're just good working stiffs, right?
Right.
But you don't know.
Right. And that's the thing, you know, let alone the 200,000 kids that they have lost that come into the country, which is a whole nother thing. But, you know, you've got these people coming into the country that they don't know where they're at. They get in and they disappear.
Well, you get into another conspiracy theory right there. They're just refilling the pipeline of that movie you were talking about, going to all the turds at the top.
Yes. Yeah. The sponsors, and they can't find. I was watching a congressional hearing about all of the kids that are here. They lost 85,000 kids. They supposed to do a follow-up call with their sponsors. They have over a 50% no answer rate when they call these places. They don't know where the kids are.
Again, with the cartels and with the politicians, which are basically the same thing, really, you know, it's not surprising at all. I'm all about the whole compassion and people, you know, being able to better their lives and all that stuff. But at some point, you know, you gotta put your foot down at some point. How many people are you going to let into your house before you close your door and say, nobody else is coming into my damn house? You all go home.
You know? Yeah, if they don't have my last name or in my bloodline, they're not coming in, period. You know, it's my guys and their families, and then we're going to do what we do. But, yeah.
Yeah, because you let that many people in, somebody's bound to do some stupid crap. Somebody's bound to break a window or whatever.
The tragedy of this all is with the Biden administration is we're busy sending billions. Like, I don't know, were we close to 100 billion, if not more, north of that now, to Ukraine and doing all this bullshit all over the world, when we can invest that we can invest that back in here into Americans. And one of the things they could do, right, is put up is get a system in place that is robust enough to handle this influx of people. And you're like, oh, you want to come here and work? Here's your guest worker permit. You know, if you're here for 10 years and you don't have any screw ups and you don't, you know, blow up any buildings and kill any bunch of Americans and stuff, well, guess what? Yeah. Now you can get a green card after 10 years or something like that. But where we track them, where we know what's going on with them, we bring them out of this stuff where we're playing the games and just like, oh yeah, we're just going to let you come in our country and we're not going to, you know, and that's it. You just go be illegal. I mean, you think about that. You talked about the sound of freedom. What is our president and when it comes back, you know, and people try to say this is a Democrat Republican issue, right? Under Trump, the Republicans had control of all three chambers of the government. They could have done something to fix this. And they didn't and same as the Democrats, right? Because they all want to use it for money. They want to use it for propaganda talking points. No one wants to fix it, but we have the ability to fix it. So that way it protects us as Americans. It helps these people out that want to do these jobs and regulate it, but we don't want to do anything. We have the power again because they have nefarious means in mind. And speaking of the sound of freedom, the other thing, you can go look up Michael Yon, go look him up on YouTube. Right. Michael Yon's a former special forces guy who did all kinds of videos. And now he's really into the human trafficking, shining a light on human trafficking. A lot of the human trafficking is coming across the southern border is little kids in groups being trafficked into the United States to be used, abused, killed, and all the other stuff that the sound of freedom shows.
Right.
But, so I don't know. Why don't they want to stop that? Right. Why wouldn't the Biden administration? I mean, think how many hundreds of thousands of little kids are there coming across the border that Biden fantasizes about sniffing their air?
Yeah.
You know,
call it QAnon-ish and shut it down. That's all they do.
And I'm not a QAnon person. I thought QAnon was they were right on this. I thought they were a mess on a bunch of other stuff, but this is happening. It's a tragedy what's happening. And then they all say, really you're racist and you're mean because you want to stop this. No, I want to stop seeing. I grew up in Northeast Los Angeles. Trust I. You know, like I'm very familiar with the illegal immigrant situation, right? Like I grew up in this neighborhood of it,
right?
But they're not doing it. What they're doing is hurting people and not helping people.
Yeah. Hey, Sprout just had a good comment up there too, because like I believe it's somewhere in the 70% range where people in the United States, us down here that don't matter, it's about 70% of us want some sort of just, good immigration system. We know it's possible, but there's nobody in Washington. And yeah, like she said right there, or they said, they're not profitable. And that's why politicians will never fix that problem, even though and that's just another example of how of us getting the middle finger from the politicians, even though, you know, all of us, you know, would like something to get solved to where it's not just flooding over the border, but people are still getting opportunities. No, it's not going to happen because it creates those issues when it comes time to get elected. And when you have those issues, then, and you only have two turds to choose from, you know, you're going to, it's going to make your decision between turds a little bit easier.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and folks, keep in mind on this channel, you can disagree with the comments and what we're talking about. That's fine. If you disagree, that's great. And that's okay. But, you know, hey.
I mean, when you think about the vast majority of modern American, at some point their ancestors came through places like Ellis Island and all that. Pretty much, unless you're Native American or your heritage was brought over as slaves, you went through Ellis Island. You went through a check. And Ellis Island, you know, because and they try to say that we're somehow like, oh, you're being mean, you're being racist for demanding this. Go look at how it worked for you in Ellis Island. Like, you showed up there and you winked wrong, put them on the ship, send them back.
Send them back.
That's right. And when they got done, like, you weren't getting any social handouts or any benefits. Like, you had to have family and friends. You know, my grandparents came over through Ellis Island, right? And they talk about it. Like, we've had this. It's they're trying to dismantle America through this stuff right now.
Right. Exactly. And I truly believe they want borderless countries.
Global government governance.
To help stimulate the one world government, and folks can go wherever they want freely without harassment or being sent back to where they came. And I have no problem with anybody coming here, but do it the right way.
Yeah.
Do it the legal.
Yeah, I think the other reason too, and this is why you see it all over the world, and I don't know, but I think there's the fact that populations need to increase to keep these machines that are the governments running, and because they're, you know, because populations, I know in Britain, in the UK, they're running into this problem where their population is decreasing, so they're going to have to figure out how to keep that up, otherwise the machine. You know, there's not enough money going into the machine or however that works. But I think that could be part of the reason as well. Is they're just like, hey, let these people in. It could be part that it's the Democrat voting bloc because they're crossing their fingers that maybe they, once they get to become citizens or whatever, that they will vote for them. But I think a lot of it probably has to do with just boosting up the population too. Even though they'll still pay taxes. So, you know, I don't know. I think that's part of it.
If I was writing a dystopian fiction novel and I wanted to figure out how to handle a bunch of Americans who aren't down with having their government, you know, with what their government's doing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'd run a bunch of people into the country who aren't in that country legally, and then give them a pathway to citizenship. Like, hey, why don't you join Freedom Force and do what's good for America and prove your patriotism by rounding up all these other jackasses who. And when I say jackasses, from their opinion, who, you know, they believe in the flag and they believe in freedom. We can't have that. You need to go handle that.
Right.
Like you said, it's military. When you have working age and that whole fighting age male stuff, like that was what we dealt with over in Iraq. It's like, you know, are these fighting age males? Right. And so they're the work, the people who do the work, you know, that's who you have as the fighting age males. Watch the videos that of them coming across. I mean, there's some women and there's some kids.
Yeah.
A lot of working age males. And I imagine 99% are just trying to come and get a job and trying to send money back home. But that 1%,
Yeah, that's the thing. And it's that 1% that can wreak havoc, you know, in this country and upon this country. Like you said, you don't need 1,000 people. You need, you know, a dozen or two strategically placed, well-informed, well-equipped people, like you said, to take out 9 power stations in our grid and everybody goes black.
You get a little over a dozen people working with the CIA, you can take down 2 buildings.
I was trying not to go there, but you are absolutely correct. Yes. But guys, you know, it's almost to the point that, no, it is to the point they are overwhelming us with all of these squirrel moments that, folks, the way I'm literally trying to deciphering all of this now is I'm listening to what you can't hear.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, you have to these days because there's so much freaking noise. I mean, it's every different direction, it seems like, these days. And it's almost to the point where you have to disconnect, because if not, your brain's going to blow up.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I'm listening from not here. You know, they're talking about Hunter Biden. Okay, we know that. Why are they throwing this out here? What's really taking place? You know, FedNow launched. Okay. And I did a live Tuesday about Amazon and their new Amazon One palm scanning payment system.
Where they all that crap's coming too.
Yeah, they use your palm and they do points on the palm and the line of the veins to do a secure, convenient transaction. Which
anything to make it easier for them to get your money. And then by them doing that makes it easier and more convenient for the government to get your information, for these big tech companies to get all your data. We're 1984, man. I'm telling you, it's just that's exactly the direction we're going. And most people are willingly going that direction.
Correct. Hudson Valley Prepping and Survival, my brother up in New Yorkistan. I truly appreciate it. You know, all donations definitely go back into the channel and everything we do here. And I am with you on that. This live stream will definitely get demonetized, and that's okay. I don't care.
But it's a fun show.
Yeah, that's my guy. Mike is absolutely amazing. And we appreciate the donation, Mike. Thank you. but yeah, it's crazy that our country unfortunately appears to be imploding based on Grandpa Ice Cream and his crew. How do we fix it? Can we fix it?
I had a comment on a video that I put out today. We did Brian and I did a video with Live Life Free and Grumpy Acres a while back. And I did a video about, I forget what it was called, but the comment on the video was basically to the point of there is something coming down the pipe.
Mm-hmm. No, this one of my guys here in Ohio. Thank you. Yep, probably going to happen. Agree. I'm with you. Thank you so much for the donation. I appreciate it. I'm sorry to be with you, Dale. Go ahead.
This one could go down that route as well. So
yeah.
But they were asking about how are we getting pushed towards to the point where we're going to have to push back, because they don't give a crap anymore. Like I said before, giving us the middle finger, they don't give a crap. The two-tiered justice system. They don't care that we're getting shafted as Americans. And at what point do we say enough of this BS? And you see people doing it in France. You see people. I mean, this could be a bunch of different countries, not just here in the United States, as this becomes more global. But at what point do we get to that point where people just say, all right, enough? Because they're not just going to be able, I don't think anyway, maybe they will. They can't just continue to go this route to the point where we are in the Hunger Games or we are in 1984. I think as Americans, we're too freaking feisty and you know, we like our freedom.
Yeah, and like and like Brian said, every blade of grass, you're gonna find some lead.
You just but you're running into a problem, right? We're on this sort of terminal path. That we have a few problems, right? We have the Second Amendment, we all stand by that, right? The problem you have is they have the development of technology on their side. And eventually at some point, whether it's we see what drones are doing in Ukraine, as drone technology and all that, you know, Dallas PD a couple of years ago blew a dude up using a drone, right? A robot. So at some point, the firearms thing may be a mute point. Because
I am robot,
right? I am robot kind of thing. The other side of that is, as we move into the FedNow world, what happens, right? You're going in and they're getting to the point where they're going to cut you off, just like Canada, just like China. If they don't agree, if they don't agree with what you're doing, they're going to cut you off from your resources. So if you don't have, if it doesn't matter, hey, you know what? I'm a feisty pro Second Amendment prepper, and all of a sudden that becomes illegal. Okay, well, what happens when the drone swarm shows up around my house and just waits for you to come outside? And in the meantime, correct, they shut you off from all your resources because you can't spend any of your money. Like we're heading towards this. And so this idea, I think we have this 1776 mentality and stuff like that. You know, the other side would be hopefully we could vote our way out of this stuff. But we've seen if you go ask Democrats, hey, was the 2016 election fair? They're going to tell you no. If you go ask pro Trump people, was 2020 fair? They're going to tell you no. So everybody admits that we have problems with this stuff. Right. So I don't know at what point we get, if maybe we've already hit it, but at some point we're hitting a tipping point where all of the preps we have to defend ourselves from a tyrannical government kind of go out the window.
Yeah, that we run out. Yes. And Dan H, this is my evil twin right here. And thank you.
Hilarious.
I agree with you with Amazon and the starfish. thank you for the donation, bro. Much appreciated. And Cool Colt, thank you for the donation. He said, let's keep coming together. This brother and sisterhood of preparedness is what will allow us to thrive while we survive. Thanks, fellas. Cool Colt, you're absolutely right. We got to stick together because sooner or later it may be just us. So, but thank you for the donation. I much appreciate it. And Dan and everybody else who donated, thank you. This may get taken down and that's okay too. But hey, I knew it going into it because I said, these guys right here, they don't play. They don't hold no punches. And they're going to tell it like they see it. And if you don't agree with them, that's okay.
I love it when people don't agree with me, man. Here's the thing that happens in the world. And it's one of my mind for survival philosophies, right? There's a reality that happens in the world. And none of us see reality for what it truly is because we have our cultural upbringing, our physical things, you know, like all these different parts of the human condition that are unavoidable affect how we look at reality. So the only way we can ever get close to reality is by disagreeing with one another and having and actually listening to what the other person says and go, you know what? 90% of what that dude just said or 95% of what he said is nuts. But this little bit here, that makes sense. And then we throw it into our thought process and using something that's gone the way of the dodo called the scientific method, right? We go in and we try to prove ourselves wrong. And if we can prove ourselves wrong, well, guess what? Maybe we don't know the right way, but we know one way that's wrong. And now we're closer to finding the right way. And that's what we should all be into, trying to get align our thoughts and our beliefs as close to reality as possible. And that comes through engagement. And what the one thing I also say on that is we always say that the price of freedom is what military people pay overseas. And that's definitely part of it. Although we haven't had a war about freedom in a long time. We've just killed a bunch of people for the military industrial complex. One of the true costs of freedoms right now, especially in today's society, is listening to something that makes you uncomfortable. Because it's that person's right to express it. And actually, when I say listening, actually listening to what they have to say.
Correct. And I agree with you. And that's the beauty of it. Like you said, 95% of what you say, I don't agree with, but wait a minute, this 5% here, I need to think about this because that makes sense. And that's the beauty of people coming together from different creeds, colors, backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes this country to this day the greatest country 100%. In the world. And I'll say that all day. As jacked up as the United States is, there is no other country that I rather live in and raise my children in than these United States of America, period.
The problem with that, though, is these days people are so offended so quickly. We should be able to say, you're full of shit, and here's why, and have a conversation about it.
Right. But
these days, if somebody says something you don't agree with, it's over. The conversation's over. And that's that leads to where we are, where everybody's sort of separate. That this goes right into the, you know, the hands of the politicians. It's exactly what they want. Everybody divided, everybody separated, everybody in their own little bubbles. Nobody talk to each other. Just bitch. You know, you can yell at that person over there, bitch, from your bubble, but don't go over yeah. there and talk to them.
Well, yeah, that's the narrative okay. they're pushing. That's the narrative they're pushing right now, right? Because if everybody's a victim, it means you're not responsible for anything that's happening to you. And since you're a victim, what are you supposed to do as a victim? Fight back, yell, do all this stuff. So they're telling everybody. I just got into it. I went down a little flame war over on LinkedIn with some guys this week, and which is funny. Like, I'm like, wow, I'm actually getting in like social media fights on LinkedIn. And it was by a young guy who was upset because I said his company just went out of business. And in 8 months ago, that company gave everybody 8.3% pay raises. And I'm like, when a company is in financial difficulty, you don't give everybody 8% pay raises. And the guy writes me this long response because he was all butthurt. Like, well, we deserve the pay raise. He's like, you know what? We had to fight every – this is a young guy. We had to fight every year to get our 5 to 10% pay raises. And I'm like, dude, you – and he didn't think that was a big pay raise. And I'm like, you realize the average American typically gets at best a 3 to 5% pay raise? You're correct. Double what America's getting. And that's the attitude of these young people today. And I feel terrible for them because they're being fed this stuff by the establishment. They're all victims. Like, oh, every, you know, and like, take pride in your victimhood. Yeah. You know, what happened to America? That's, you know, you said something like, hey, you know, like when you were talking about America's great, like gave me goosebumps, right? Because America is a great ideal. The idea of America, the Constitution is the greatest living document. Throw the, you know, obviously the Bible and all that up there, but it's the greatest living document ever created by a government. It knows that we weren't perfect, but we need to get more perfect.
Yes.
And this, that's being lost on these generation. And I really feel bad because when that comes crashing home on them, it's going to be a really like, I don't know how they're going to deal with it. Like they've been lied to, just constantly getting lied to.
I mean, you just the basic stuff they don't teach anymore in school. Ask kids or this generation behind us, is the United States a democracy?
And I guarantee tell you, yes.
98% of them are going to say yes. I'm like, no, the country was not formed as a democracy. It is.
How many times do you hear a politician say republic?
Yeah, you don't.
Once a year, maybe.
And you know what? And the sad part is we're not even a constitutional republic these days. We're a neo-fascist society where we're business and politicians are so tied together that they're I mean, look at BlackRock. Do you ever see BlackRock commercials? Once when I watch mainstream media, I'll see these BlackRock commercials.
Yeah.
And the one I see all the time is this fat, out of shape firefighter. And I use it. I'm not the most in shape guy in the world. I probably need to lose 40 pounds. So I qualify as fat, but it's this fat, out of shape firefighter. When you're a firefighter, you shouldn't be fat and out of shape when you're in 20s. Anyhow. And he's talking about how great BlackRock is and how they manage all these retirements of public safety. They're trying. That's the company that's pushing ESG.
We're here for you.
Yeah. And isn't it odd? Like, this is sometimes why I think I'm living in a simulation. How crazy is it that the CEO of BlackRock's last name is Fink? Like, that's something out of like a comic book, right? I mean, that's what we're dealing with. I feel terrible for what these kids today are going to be exposed to later, what the reality that's going to crash into their world.
Yes. I agree with you. It's what 9/11. If you guys have time, we can go for another half an hour. I folks, I I could listen to these two guys talk. We could have a conversation, and it'll be Friday. So if y'all,
I got time, man.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Hey, Hudson Valley Prepping and Survival. He says oligarchy, 100%, dude. We're an oligarchy. We're an oligarchy, cross of a kleptocracy, cross of neo. You know what we aren't? We aren't free, right? Look, go look at any of the sites that do the Freedom Index and tell us how free our country is. You know where we are? We're not even the top 20. And it, as an American, if we're not number one, we should all be pissed off. I know we all are about it, but our country as a whole should be like, what's wrong? Why aren't we number one?
Yeah, that's true. It's, you know, back to my original question. How do we fix this, or can we fix this? I don't know. I mean, without.
I don't think that's possible, because we don't have a say in anything.
Yeah.
Until we have a say in everything. And I mean, that's it. Come on YouTube. So
and I'm with you, because I mean, I have a idea of how it can be fixed, but it'll probably be today would probably be the last time you ever see my channel.
You know, the other thing we talked about when people sort of stand up, and that doesn't necessarily mean violence or anything like that, when people stand up and say, I've had enough. But also you think about the fact that if this just sort of starts falling apart from the inside out, you know, that could lead to something like a world war as well, because that's usually how countries, when they start, you know, everything starts falling apart, that's usually or they'll sell it to the American people. Hey, we're struggling right now. We're doing, you know, we're in the middle of this fight. We're in the fight of our lives, and we're really struggling right now. And, you know, this is how they sell the fact that they screwed everything up so bad, is you just go to war. So, I mean, that's I don't know how viable that option is, but I mean, it is a possibility that it gets to that point in a couple decades or so. And who knows, maybe before that. I mean, you never know these days. Everything is advancing so quickly that.
I think if there was a true, I mean, I think we're living in a national emergency, but, you know, the government is doing what they're doing. If we had a true national emergency, whether it's like, you know, the asteroids coming, whatever, I think there might be some hope for that. But right now, I mean, you get into the whole idea of Thucydides' trap, right? Thucydides was a Greek philosopher, and he said that anytime you have a major change in power, there's always a struggle, there's always strife, right? I think we're running into that. You know, I think you see the old guard losing their grip on everything and you trying to use what they can to keep that grip. I mean, the idea that they're putting a FedNow app and, you know, wait till we move down the road a little bit more, because, right, we know technology is putting people out of jobs. Right? One of the things, no matter what we have about these times, they're definitely interesting, right? And as technology puts more people out of work, and it's going to happen more and more. Think about, we're within 10 years of self-driving cars, pretty much, right? Like, that's coming soon.
Right?
How many traffic, you know, people, cops writing tickets do you need, right? Like across the board, this stuff's going to happen. And watch what happens when they come out with universal basic income, because it's going to happen. And what are they going to do? Hey, you want your $2,000 a month? Got to use FedNow.
Got to use FedNow
or whatever. And FedNow is an app, because everybody has phones.
Yes.
Right. When they figure out how to put the, you know, this goes into the biblical stuff. When they figure out how to put the chip in the hand to be more convenient, so you can have a conversation through your, you know, talking to your thumb while you're sucking it or something like that. And you can do all your transactions through your hand.
Yeah.
You know, whether we get that far or not, but they're going to force that on you, because they're going to attach the money strings to it. Right. It's not like we have to have a balanced budget. It's not like they actually have to have the money. They just create the money. Put it in a computer and everybody gets their digits.
Yeah. Goes back to the jab. You don't have to force everyone to get it. You just got to make it such a pain in the ass if you don't, that everybody's gonna. And that's what Brian was just talking about. Yeah.
I'm with you. And that's the hill I've decided to die on. And now you look at the news, and I'm not going to mention somebody's son who just had a cardiac arrest while at training camp. And I don't know if it's tied to it or not, but all of these people dropping over, all these athletes, because they were forced to take it.
I don't know. I don't know if there's a correlation or not, but I'm thinking back because I'm a big football fan. Think back to 5-10 years ago. I don't remember these kids in their 20s, these people just super fit in their 20s. I don't remember, even though it's not dropping like flies, although it seems like it, it seems like once a month or once every other month, there's something like that happening. I don't ever remember that happening with this age group of people.
There was there was actually a study that just came out of one of the Scandinavian countries. And let me preface this because we're on YouTube. We all know the vax is great and it's wonderful and it's highly effective. Right? That it's the best thing mankind's ever done, and everybody should line up and get YouTube. Now, this study that just came out, and if you go check out Dr. John Campbell on YouTube, right? He reviews a lot of studies, and Dr. John Campbell was all in on the shot early on, and now he's like, what the hell was this all about? And the study showed that 1 out of 35 people who have had a B-O-O-S-T-E-R, that they have some level of cardiac compromise, whether that's just a release in troponins that happen when you have a heart attack, or worse. And you know, that Damar Hamlin thing. I was a paramedic for a long time. That was not the commodio cordis that they tried to tell everybody that was. And I still guarantee you that was. You know, and that they tried to push. And what happened when Damar Hamlin? Did you ever see the interview when he afterwards with Mike Singletary?
I never saw the interview.
That was
on YouTube. It's somewhere. It's on Rumble. Dude, Mike Singletary goes, "Hey, what happened?" And Damar Hamlin he looks like Mitch McConnell when Mitch McConnell forgets what he's talking about in the middle of a conversation, stares off into space and says, "I don't think I want to discuss that right now," or something to that effect.
Right, exactly. Okay, that part I did see. Right. I thought he actually voiced his opinion. And I think he knows exactly what happened and why it happened.
I think he got paid to not voice his opinion. Yeah.
I think he got told, "Hey man, if you want to keep your NFL,"
I think Good Morning America or something, if anybody wants to go check that out. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did. Your NFL career.
Yeah. And he's supposed to be coming back this year. We'll see if he plays, but I've never seen this many. I mean, it's, you know, I'm a Denver guy, Demaryius Thomas. I don't know what happened with him. The dude was 30 years old and was found in his bathroom dead. Something with his heart.
Well, I mean, you know, everything was up and up on all that stuff because obviously everything is really great and above board. And it's only natural that the drug companies would want to hide the results of their testing for 75 years. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, because everything's just straight, because it's safe and effective. That's what you do.
Yes. I saw a blurb today where there were 100,000 signature petition of doctors that went to the Supreme Court wanting Fuchsface indicted for everything he did during that time.
Yeah.
Dr. Finger to put him in jail and indict him and investigate him. So I don't know.
Never happened.
No.
They pushed it too far. They pushed it too much. And they are not going to back down, and they're in bed with Big Pharma, and you know it's all about the money. That's why you never hear anything about it on mainstream media, because every third commercial is a Big Pharma commercial. So you're not going to hear them talk any crap about anything. And then half the drugs out there, I'm not going down this route. You know, if you do get this video taken down, it's your own damn fault because you had us stay on an extra 20 minutes and look where this conversation went.
It never gets good when we go longer. Hey, if you want to read a good book, if you're into good books on, and you want to learn about the Fauciosaurus Rex, go check out RFK's book. It's the real Anthony Fauciuser. And he lays it all because that dude pulled the same, like he made his bones back during the HIV/AIDS.
Yes.
That all started. So that'll get you some good information there.
Yes. Guys, all I can say is thank you because this has been,
it's fun. It's a good show.
It is. NG girl, this live stream not brought to you by. Yeah.
The only thing on the internet not brought to you by Pfizer.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. And Hudson Valley, we definitely need to decide which size wood chipper we're going to get. because I think all the donations now coming in are going to go towards the purchase of the wood chipper. So we'll see what happens there.
Well, if you get enough donations, you know, those otter crushers that you drop the car in the top and it just, you ever watch, they have YouTube channels and it's all they show you, like dropping cars and stuff into these big metal, that would be really kind of cool, man.
You're going to have to get a staging area like a FEMA camp to put all these people before you even get them to the wood chipper.
Hey, if you reach out to the federal government, they probably have plans on how to set that up.
Okay. See, folks, I told y'all, these are my guys. I love it because not only do they give great opinions and information, they have a sense of humor that just falls right in line with everything that I think and don't say and do say, because they'll just flat out say it. Yes. So we may be having some special features at next year's Bug Out Weekend. So, you know, we may have some skills training on how to do some machinery and watch some things get, put in place. But what time is 9:22? Guys, any questions in the chat for Dale and Brian? Because these guys are awesome and I really don't want to hold them, but I am going to hold them to come back. And Hudson Valley, when you are available, we're going to do a panel and I want Hudson Valley on the panel. I want to bring back Brian and Dale and probably also add the Roaming Prepper in on this and come up with some topics.
That would be an insane show. I've watched all their channels.
You might have to do that just on YouTube, bro.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what I want to do.
I mean, just on Rumble.
Yeah, we may have to do that. And if that's the case, that may be my first thing I do on Rumble. I have an account that is like empty. I follow you guys there and I think some other people and that's it. But we're going to have a round table the Survivalist Preppers, Hudson Valley Prepping and Survival, and the Roaming Prepper. And we're just going to go full no hose barred. And it'll probably be the last time I'm ever on YouTube, but that's okay.
Yeah, my wife is in the chat and she said right there, Brian behaves better on YouTube. That is true. So keep that in mind.
I'm on my best behavior right now. This is it. This is as good as it gets, man.
It is. And that's okay because I've seen both. And folks, please follow these guys on Rumble. If you want the uncensored, uncut information and their true-hearted opinion off the top of their head without them trying to formulate sentences and being nice because they're on YouTube, you got to go check them out. It's worth it. Very, very much so.
Thanks, man.
And yes, Hudson Valley, you can bring the Livingston Man. That will be... Yeah, that'll probably be my last time on YouTube when that kicks off. So that's okay. I don't care because we're all about information, helping the folks, getting out opinions and saying the things that a lot of us think but don't have a chance to.
Yeah. I don't think there was anything so bad tonight that it's going to get taken down, but you're going to make 13 cents from this video.
Oh, dude, you're demonetized. This money's not going to get any
money. Okay. I'm democratized. That's okay. I don't care. You know, I have a day job and that's okay. And that's what pays the bills. All of this here is extra. And it's just, you know, 13 cents is 15 cents. So there it is.
Yeah.
Any last comments, guys? Y'all, I'm going to let y'all close it out with the comments. And folks, thank you for joining us tonight for this mayhem. But it is real and it is reality. But we're living in mayhemic. Is that a word? No. But
it is now, dude.
You just made it out.
I put the big C behind that. You own that, dude. That's gonna be in Webster's right there when they redefine what a vaccine is next year.
Yeah. We live in mayhemic times. Keep prepping, folks. You guys know the drill. With that, Brian, Dale, closing comments.
Hey man, everybody stay safe, you know, out there. If you would follow me over on mine, the number4survival.com. If you're going back to prepper camp, I'll be at prepper camp at the end of September. I think I'll be at the Mountain Readiness Expo as well. And then, hey, if you're a social media influencer, Dale and I love doing other people's shows. So hit us up and we'll love to do other stuff. And keep it on the level. We'll keep it about this level.
Yeah.
Unless you have a Rumble channel, then I can go unhinged.
Yeah, if you got a YouTube channel, invite us on your YouTube channel. Brian will behave.
That is true. Yeah. But if you have Rumble and you invite them, they're taking the gloves off and no holds barred, guys. Yeah, I'm just letting y'all all know now. And they deliver every single time.
My last piece of advice would be, and you know, you can find me, like I said in the beginning, Survival's Prepper all over the place. Just put it in the search engine. But I would say, you know, you talked about how we try to have a good time on our shows. You can agree, disagree, half the crap you're probably going to disagree with, but we try to make it entertaining and fun anyway. And I think that's where we have to be as far as being as preppers and being people that are concerned in all this stuff. You got to have some sort of sense of humor. If you're religious, then you've already got that feeling of it's going to be okay. But you can't let it consume you. You can't let it just drive you absolutely bonkers because there's so many different things going on these days. We should all be hiding in our basement and and crossing our fingers. But just like you gotta live your life. You only get one of them. So,
hey, remember, man, don't let your worry about tomorrow and your fear about tomorrow ruin your today, man. We all need to have a life. We all need to enjoy it. And if you go down to your grave worrying about everything that's going to happen, that's one of the downsides of preparedness. If you go down to your grave worrying about what's happened, you didn't live the best life you can possibly live. And that's why we prepare.
Yeah. Yes. Like you were talking about vision, the kids and a puppy. That's the important stuff.
It is. Yeah. You know, and the puppy was part of my preps because in about 9 months, he's going to be close to 200 pounds and he's going to be a force to reckon with.
What kind of dog?
African Borble.
I don't know what that is.
You Google it, look them up. They're Borble. Yep. Borble. Yes. They come from South Africa and they were bred to fight and beat lions. The farmers in South Africa use them to protect their livestock.
That's a cool looking dog.
Yes.
A big fat head. Almost like a pit bull a little bit.
Yeah, they're in the Mastiff family. Smart, family-oriented, love kids. This little dude, he's amazing. And I
bet you he's cuter than hell right now.
He is. And
how
he is.
You have to feed him?
Well, he'll just take what my son normally eats, but now that my son's off to college, the dog will just take his share, you know. My son is the reason why I bought a 22 cubic foot upright freezer that's in my garage.
You can make up a little chariot and like ride in the apocalypse behind that guy. Put like a little belt fed machine gun or something on there.
Exactly. Put a 50 cal on it. Belt fed. Absolutely. Yes. That is our transportation during the apocalypse. Yes. So Paul's asking Brian, anything coming up like the South Carolina and Georgia get togethers? If you know what he's talking about, or freeze.
Hey, Paul, I just put the link to Prepper Camp in the chat. So I'd go to preppercamp.com. And then if you want to shoot me an email at brian@mindforsurvival.com, I'll send you some links to some of their places I'm planning on going that's in the South. I think those other ones are in Kentucky and Ohio.
There you go. Yes. And where was it? I saw that it was by
YouTube Busters, I think is what he said.
YouTube busters. Yes, most definitely. They broke YouTube. Hudson Valley says, get medical training, folks. Yep. That will be, please do, because next year at the Bug Out Weekend, we will be teaching a Stop the Bleed course.
Hey, what's your Bug Out Weekend?
We haven't set a date yet for next year yet, but this year we had one the first weekend in June that was absolutely freaking amazing for our first event for the year. We had 43 people show up, and it was amazing.
Cool.
We had great people teach classes, Hudson Valley, whole bunch of folks in the chat were in there. It was better than I expected or could have expected for the first year. So,
very cool.
Yeah, we can only get bigger and better. So
yeah, let me know when your next one comes up, man. I'd love to go.
I will definitely do that. Absolutely. You can always check us out at visionpreparedness.org and there as well. But folks, we appreciate everybody hanging out. If you guys can hold on for a second after we close out, I just want to say my thank yous to you guys in the green room. But folks, remember this, keep prepping, because your family is depending on you and it depends on your life. This is Vision Preparedness. God bless everybody. Have a safe, amazing evening. Enjoy Friday. The weekend is right around the corner, folks. Stay safe, and we will see you in the next video. Take care.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, y'all.